Okay, so if you can't answer this question, you either haven't been here or you haven't been paying attention very well. What book of the Bible are we studying this year? Everybody?
Proverbs.
Proverbs. Okay. Yes, Proverbs. Now, the word Proverbs is not just a Bible word. There are actually a lot of different proverbs in the world. A proverb just means that it's a good, like, saying, or that this is something that is a way to live your life. I'm sure you've heard of, a lot of times we hear of, like, ancient Chinese proverb. Have you ever heard that? Like, a lot of times you'll hear those kind of phrases, or it means, like, it's an old truth that we need to tell you, and that it's something that you can really count on. But what makes the Bible Proverbs so much better than any of the other proverbs that are out there in the world? Because there are some things that, you know, other people have said that are good advice, that are true things about the world that we live in that we can see and we can tell, yeah, that kind of works out that way. That's kind of a true saying. But what makes the Bible's Proverbs better than any of those other proverbs that we may hear in the world from other people? Anybody tell me? Any guesses?
Because it's in the Bible?
Okay, it's in the Bible, right? That's a good start. But why are the things in the Bible maybe more important for us to listen to? Oh, yes, that is the correct answer. The reason that the proverbs in the Bible are better than all those other proverbs, even though some of those other proverbs may be true, is that these are the proverbs that God gave to King Solomon to write down so that people in the past had them to read and understand and learn from, and then also for us to read and learn and understand. All right? That's why they're so much more important, so much better for us to learn from. All right, so that is why we are taking this time to understand what is in the book of Proverbs. So what would you say, if there's been one word that you have, that's kind of a main word that we've learned about all 4 weeks, what would you say that word might be? Any guesses? What's a good word? What is Proverbs talking about?
Wisdom.
Yes, wisdom. Right, wisdom. Wisdom is what we're learning about. But if you're learning about something good, that means that there's always something that's bad on the other side, right? If wisdom is good and it's going to be a good thing for us to know, then that must mean that there is something else that we're supposed to stay away from. What would be the word for that?
Turning away from God.
All right, turning away from God, yes.
Sin.
Sin, that might be a good word for it. There's one I'm kind of looking for, though.
Foolish.
Yes. Foolishness, right. So if wisdom is good, and this is what a lot of the Proverbs is about, it gives us a good and wise thing that we should be doing, and it then tells us, a lot of times, it'll tell us something that is a foolish thing that we're supposed to avoid. And chapter 5 is talking about what is a foolish thing that we need to avoid? What is this thing that we need to stay away from? Okay, so that's what chapter 5 is all about. Chapter 4 was actually a really good lesson about all the good things that wisdom can do for us if we follow what God says and we obey Him and we listen to His instruction. Chapter 4 gives us a lot of good things that can happen in our life if we do that. Chapter 5 is a warning, and it says, if you ignore what I said in chapter 4, and you start doing these things, then there's going to be some really bad things, some negative things that happen in your life, okay? So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. So we'll get right in here, And chapter 5 starts out this way, and this is the same way a lot of the other chapters have started. It says, "My son, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding." Mr. Greg talked about that last week. That's listening, isn't it? And not just listening with your ear, but listening with your heart, listening with your mind, thinking about those things. "Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may keep discretion and your lips may guard knowledge." Now, verse 3 is where we get into some things that we need to start being warned about, okay? Now, in chapter 4, it talked about wisdom, and it used the word she or her quite a bit about how wisdom, it talks about wisdom as if it's this really smart lady that you should listen to, okay? And she's going to tell you a lot of good things, and if you follow her, that will be good for your life. Chapter 5 is kind of the opposite. It's going to talk about a woman that you need to not listen to because she's going to say some things that you shouldn't be listening to, okay? So, verse 3 says, "For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil." Okay? How many people like to eat honey or like to taste honey? It's good, isn't it? It's sweet. Honey is good. So, and how many people, maybe the second one doesn't quite as, we don't quite understand it as much, but oil was something that was really important in the time of Solomon. If you had oil, that meant you were probably pretty wealthy, okay? So oil was a good thing. So it sounds like this woman has some really good things that we might want to listen to, right? We might want to spend our time around her because she's got this honey, she's got oil, but in verse 4, it shows who she really is. In verse 4, it says, "But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword." Those are two very different things, aren't they? Wormwood, that's not maybe something you guys know anything about. I don't really know anything about it. All I know is that it's really bitter. And if you eat it, you're going to remember it. So it's kind of the opposite. He's doing a comparison here. It sounds like what she's telling you is really sweet and really good, but actually it's awful. In fact, one Bible translator said, it's like having a mouthful of gravel. That's what it's going to be like.
That's my whole
job. Ugh, yuck. Would you like to have a mouthful of gravel?
No.
No, I wouldn't either. All right? And instead of being this good oil, it's a two-edged sword. What happens with a two-edged sword? Yeah, it's really easy to cut yourself, right? A two-edged sword, I mean, you can't really grab that thing anywhere, can you? I mean, it's sharp everywhere, so it's dangerous. Okay, so this person sounds like they might be telling you some really good things. Sounds like maybe they're telling you that you're really great and, you know, there's nothing wrong with you and just keep, you know, keep doing whatever you want. It's fine. But verse 5 tells us, "Her feet go down to death and her steps follow the path to Sheol." Sheol is a term that they used in Solomon's time. That was talking about the grave, so being dead. So it's kind of like it's death, but it's also like buried. So it's kind of like her path leads to being dead and buried. And you don't come back from that. So definitely someone that we shouldn't be listening to, right? Even though at first maybe it sounds like she's saying some good things. Now, why is this? Verse 6 tells us, "She does not ponder the path of life." So she doesn't really think about what's going to be best for life. She's maybe just thinking about what might be fun in the moment. And that's a dangerous thing to base your life around. Because things that are just fun in the moment are oftentimes not things that are really good for you later in life. And it says that her ways wander and she does not know it. That's an important thing to kind of think about there. We need to be careful about the people we spend time around because the advice that they might be giving you they might not even know that it's bad advice. They might think that they're helping you. But that's where being wise and having wisdom makes a big difference, because you can say, oh man, is what they're telling me something that God is also telling me? Is this something that God is saying I should be doing and I should be spending my time doing? That's how we can compare. Some people think, well, I just go through life and I just kind of like, as a decision comes up before me, I just choose the one that I think is going to be the best one in the moment, or sounds the best. But we need to be careful that we're comparing every choice we have with what God has told us in the Bible. And that's where the other parts of Proverbs come in. We can make good decisions. We can make a wise decision instead of a foolish one. All right, so, but this keeps going on, and it gives us some examples. So what happens if someone doesn't listen to what God says and listens to this person that's telling them these things? Well, there's some consequences to that. It says, "And now, O sons, listen to me, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house." And here are some consequences that happen if you listen to this person. It says, lest you give your honor to others. So in other words, other people are maybe not going to respect you as much because of the decisions you're making. So you might have your standing taken down because of the way you behave. It says, and your years to the merciless. In other words, people are not going to feel sorry for you. Whatever consequences you have from those bad decisions, they're going to say, well, he deserved it. Too bad. That's what people who are merciless do. Now, does God say that we're supposed to be merciless? Are we supposed to be merciless to people who make a mistake or who sin? Is that how we should behave? No, God wants us to be merciful, right? He wants us to show mercy. But the people who are not following God, they are going to be merciless to someone who makes a mistake. They are not going to forgive them. They're not going to try to lift them up. They're going to take advantage of them, okay? And that's what it says. You'll be in that position. You'll be in trouble with the people that are out there who are not listening to God. Then verse 10, it keeps going. It says, lest strangers take their fill of your strength and your labor go to the house of a foreigner. It's kind of indicating that everything you work for is gone. It's taken away from you. And a lot of that goes along with if your respect is gone, maybe, you know, in this case, you kind of lose your job, or you lose the wealth that you had because of these bad decisions that you've made. And it gets even worse. It says, and at the end of your life, you groan. That doesn't sound like a good way to end your life, does it? No. And what do you groan about? It says, in verse 12, it says, you say, how I hated discipline and my heart despised reproof. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors. I am at the brink of utter ruin in the assembled congregation. So that sounds like someone who, at the end of their life, they look back and they realize that they made some decisions that kind of wrecked everything for them, and they're filled with regret, right? And that's not a place I think that any of us want to be, looking back and wishing we had done things differently, and now our life is kind of a wreck, and there's no way around it. So that is what this foolish decision-making can lead to. All right, well, let's see, why does God allow that? Why does God allow consequences for our sin? Because that's an important thing to think about, right? God is merciful, right? God is gracious. He loves us. He wants us to follow Him. Why does He allow these really bad things to happen in our lives when we sin and we make bad choices if He loves us? Well, in the end, it's to teach us that foolishness is a bad path. You know, if we were just running around making whatever decisions we wanted and everything still went well for us and nothing ever went wrong, we wouldn't understand that those things are leading to death. And then at the end of our life, all of a sudden we'd find out, wait, what? That was the wrong way to live? I never knew. But God allows those circumstances into our life. He allows things to kind of fall apart when we disobey Him and when we go against the things that He's told us. And that's what it says here at the end of chapter 5. Verse 21, it says, "For a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and a woman's, and he ponders all his paths." So God knows all the things that are going on in your life, good and bad. When you make the right decision, when you make the wrong decision, God sees all of that. He knows about all those things. And what happens? It says the iniquities or the sin or the foolishness of the wicked ensnare him, and he is held fast in the cords of his sin. God allows us to kind of be trapped sometimes by those sins, and the purpose in that is that God wants us to recognize that and say, I have no way out of this. The only way out is to look to God and to ask Him for help and to ask Him for forgiveness and to turn to Him for mercy, not the other people around us. Like it says, a lot of those people are going to be merciless. You know, there's no hope in kind of looking to other people to help you get out of trouble once you've messed up. We need to look to God. We need to ask God to help us and to give us that forgiveness that we need. And in the end it says if we don't do that, when we realize that we're trapped by sin and we're tangled up and there's no way out for us, if we don't turn to God, there is a really kind of severe warning here at the end. It says, those people, he says, he dies for lack of discipline, and because of his great folly, he is led astray. In the end, if we don't turn to God, there really is not hope for us to get out of those problems that we cause in our life. He's the only one. You can't choose something else. You can't say, well, you know, I don't really want to ask God for help, but I'm going to figure out how to fix all this on my own. God tells us right there at the end of chapter 5 that that is also foolishness, trying to rely on ourselves to fix our problems and get out of the problems we've caused. That's just going to lead to even more problems. So while chapter 5 is not, it doesn't have a lot of great hopeful things that are said in it. It sounds like it's pretty, you know, scary, right? All the things that can happen if we make those bad decisions. In the end, what God is telling us is this is not a joke, you know? We don't need to laugh about, well, we all make mistakes. That's true. But those mistakes, if we continue to make them, if we refuse to turn to God, if we refuse to repent and ask God for forgiveness for those mistakes, they are eventually going to lead to what it says. They're going to lead to death in the end. They're going to lead to separation from God forever, ultimately. But even in this life, we're separated from God if we haven't asked for forgiveness. So I hope that's a good kind of warning to you about the seriousness of sin and of allowing those foolish decisions to take over our life, and the importance of really listening and paying attention to the wise things and the wisdom that we're going to learn about as we go through Proverbs. Because as we go through Proverbs, we're going to see that Solomon writes about just about every part of life, ways that we can make wise decisions and good decisions that will help us and help the other people around us. And he's going to give us some more warnings about what happens if we make foolish decisions and we don't listen to what God says. All right? All right, well, let's go ahead. Thank you for listening so well. And we will pray, and then we're going to split up and do our memory verses. All right? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this lesson tonight. Even though it is a serious warning, I pray that you would help us to know that there is hope if we choose to turn to you and to ask for forgiveness for our sins, and that you can help us to get out of those tangled webs that we create for ourselves when we don't listen to you and we disobey you and do things our own way. I pray that you would help us to listen to wise people and make good choices in the friends that we have and the people that we spend time with, and that we would really compare the things that they tell us and the things that they try to convince us to do, that we would compare those things with what your word says, and that we would make wise choices in how we spend our time and the people that we spend it with. In Jesus' name, amen.